blessing. What a blessing. Our faith will end in sight. Amen. Going from here to yonder in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What the Bible said. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain. Now that's not everybody alive. He's talking about us that are saved. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, if those words disturb you, I'd ask the Lord why those words disturb me. Amen. That's supposed to be comfort for them that's ready to go. Amen. Comfort that if he came back right now, those that have been saved, that have gone on to glory ahead of us, their bodies will come up out of that graveyard. Amen. And listen, we're not going to prevent them. We're not going to hinder them. Amen. We'll be caught up together with them. No matter where we are around the world, you know that? We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. In the clouds, not in a grave. He's not talking about the grave. He's not talking about in a dream. He said in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. This is where we meet the Lord in the air, face to face. Amen. We're going to meet him in the air. What about that? First time we actually meet him physically is going to be in the air. What about, amen. That's good, ain't it? Praise the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing. All right. I think y'all got some songs y'all was going to sing. Pray for these girls. Amen. You're hooked in. Now get hooked up.
Amen.
Amen.
Those are two different things for sure. Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Enjoyed thoroughly the congregational singing as well as the special numbers. I tell you, I love it. Amen. I think we miss out a lot in the song service. A lot is determined in the song service. Amen. A lot is. And I believe that the song service is what prepares our heart for the preaching. I believe the song service reveals our heart. If it's nothing but just words and melody and verses and choruses, it shows where our heart's at. Scripture said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this got big to me, and I've been preaching a few services on it at the church. Speaking to yourselves. That's the loudest voice that you'll hear is what you say to yourself. That's the voice that you're going to obey is what you say to yourself. And you can find the woman with the issue of blood. She said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. What did she end up doing? Exactly what she said to herself. What are you saying to yourself tonight? I'm not going to make it. I'm going under. I can't believe this is happening to me. You're going to live like it. What about the rich farmer that said, I'm going to tear. He said to himself, so he's talking to himself. So just tear down your barns and build bigger barns. He's talking to himself. What are you saying to yourself? It's not, are you saying something to yourself? What are you saying to yourself? Is it scriptural? Is it spiritual? Is it helping you to live a Christian life? Or are you speaking words of death? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Are you speaking defeat to yourself? I can't do nothing. I ain't nothing. Listen, God never told you. That's not humility. I ain't nothing. You better be careful you're talking about God's property. I ain't nothing. I ain't nothing. I'm less than nothing. You better be careful what you say about you as a child of God, because you're talking about one of God's youngins. That's not humility. A lot of times that's an excuse. That's an excuse. Amen. So, I've been preaching on that at the church some, off and on, and just speaking to yourselves. I've preached from that. I've read that. I don't know at the times over the last 45 years but when I was reading it one morning, that speaking to yourself. Usually we're just reading through it, boom. Yeah. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts unto the Lord, giving thanks, and so on. And so on down the list. But when I read those two words, speaking to yourself, boy, it got my attention. Amen. What you say to yourself is a louder voice than what the preacher's has. There's a lot of people don't listen to the preacher because they're listening to their own voice, what they're saying to themselves. That's good right there. That'll set you free. That'll get you, let you have some victory in your life. Amen. I want to preach on that a little bit tonight. My goodness. We may have to hit that a lick or two, praise God. I guarantee it. Speaking to yourself. And of course, the indication there is very clear. What you're speaking to yourself in verse 19 is because you've met the condition of verse 18. You're filled with the Spirit of God. Woe be unto you if you're not filled with the Spirit of God and you're speaking to yourself. It is not going to be scriptural. It's not going to be spiritual. It's going to be carnal and fleshly. Amen. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is the absolute number one need in the church. From the pulpit through the pews. The fullness of God. We want God to do what He can do without us doing what we're supposed to do. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit in verse 18. Be filled. It's not something you do, it's what you are. Be is not a do word. Be is a you word. Amen. That's right. Be filled. And that's continually, consistently. Be filled. Why do we have to be filled all the time? It's because we leak. We got holes in us. What you get on Sunday will probably be leaked out by Monday evening. Amen. That's why you need to have your own self devotions and personal time with the Lord and go back to the spout where the glory runs out and get filled up again. Amen. Amen. That's good right there, ain't it? Amen. We could give an invitation right there, I promise you. My goodness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. My goodness. Ain't no question about it. If we get that down pat, everything else will fall in place. Amen. When Jesus went back, he said, when I send back to the Father, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Another meaning one just like me. And it's going to be a better situation. Hey, we in the church age, we've got it a lot better. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Jesus, when he was on earth, wasn't omnipresent. If he was in Galilee, he wasn't in Nazareth. If he was in Galilee, he wasn't in Jerusalem. Amen. He was in one place at a time. But we have the Holy Spirit of God, amen, living in each of us 24/7, all the time. And he promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So wherever you're going, I'm going with you. Amen. You talking about a privilege? We have a privilege that the Old Testament believers didn't have. The gospel account up to the cross didn't have. Amen. The Spirit of God would come and go on people in the Old Testament. They'd come on them for a purpose, a task, a battle, or to do something supernatural. And then the purpose would be, and he'd move off, and then he'd come back again on another occasion. Amen. Praise God, we don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit coming and going. He comes at the moment of salvation. He enters you. He comes in, and he indwells you. We just need to make sure he infills us. And when he's filling you, that means there's no room for anything else. See, that water bottle right there is not full. That's about the way most of us come. We come to church, and we're about half, maybe not even half. Well, you say, what happened to the other half? We used that all up for ourselves during the week. And then we come in there with a little drop or two of spirituality, and we want God to just absolutely send an earth-shaking revival that'll sweep thousands of people into the kingdom of God, and it's not going to happen. Those apostles and disciples in the book of Acts, the reason they was effective, they were full of the Holy Ghost. Peter preached one message, filled with the Spirit of God. He preached one message, and 3,000 people were saved. Today's church, we'll preach 3,000 messages, and maybe one will be saved. It's the most powerless church age that has ever been, and there's nothing to blame for that except carnality and sin. We're not serious enough. We're not desperate enough. Amen. People today are not interested in the power of God. They're not interested in having the power of God, and I'll tell you why. They're not trying to accomplish anything that requires power from God to do or to have. We're content with little, and that's going to be a shameful day when we stand before the Lord. If he were to deal with us based on what could have been, and he has that knowledge. Amen. He has that knowledge of what could have been and what he really wanted to do and what the big picture really was, but he didn't have nobody to really work through. Here's a principle. If God has to work on you, he's not working through you. And right now, most of the people from the pulpit through the pews in every church about it that I know of, we need God to work on us. To get us where we need to be so that he can move from working on us to start working through us. Amen. God means for every one of us to be a channel, a conduit that he can flow through, work in us. Amen. Amen, that's right. John 7, he said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Spirit. Greater works shall you do. When the Spirit of God comes, the church should be doing greater things than the first church and even some of those churches in the New Testament. Because we know more. We've got a complete Bible. God help us. We're going to meet God one of these days. If you're saved, you're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. And I am. And I'm going to tell you, that's not going to be no hallelujah day. When we stand before him and we realize, when we see his hands and we see his... Listen, I believe personally, and I believe I can prove it from the Scripture, he will be as a lamb that has been slain. A lamb that had been slain, freshly slain. He'll be just like he was when he was taken off the cross. That mutilated body. Amen. His visage was marred more than any man. Looked like he'd been run through a meat grinder. You couldn't even recognize Jesus as a man. He was beaten to a pulp, and the cat of nine tails had ripped his furrows in his back and pulled muscles off the bones, and the entrails many times were hanging out, and most of the people that went to the whipping post never lived past it. But Jesus didn't come to die at the post. He had to die on a tree. Cursed is every man that hangeth upon the tree. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ was determined? Despite the pain and despite the persecution and the hatred that people had toward him, he came for a purpose to save sinners. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Amen. That's right. Oh, that ought to stir up the house of God. That ought to stir up the people of God. Amen. If anything, if anything ought to show you where you're at, just compare yourself to Calvary. How long's it been since Calvary stirred your heart? How long's it been since a tear, my friend, rolled down your cheek because your heart was given to adoration and gratefulness for what Jesus has done for us? Yep. Amen. You can preach about Calvary and every eye in the house will stay dry. Used to, you could preach about it, sing. You could sing songs like we heard tonight. And brother, there'd be people weeping, worshiping. Amen. Me for one, I will never accept this dead religion in fundamental Baptist churches to be the will of God. It'll never happen. Amen. I believe, I don't think it's a sign of what God wants. I think it's a sign of what we want. God's given us what we want. If you don't want nothing, that's what you're going to get. Amen. I don't know if I'm going to get where I plan to get tonight or not. Amen. That's all right. What I was thinking about preaching tonight, I thought about preaching it last night, but when I got in the pulpit, getting ready to preach, that changed. And it feels like something's changing right now. Amen. We just need to mind the Lord. We don't need formality. Formality is not what we need. We need an absolute invasion of the Spirit of God, amen, that would cause us to repent of sin, not take up for it, not excuse it, not blame it on this, that, or the other, but just man up, woman up, amen, and say, Lord, it's me. I've sinned against you. I'm 100 miles away from what I'm supposed to be. God help us, amen. We can have revival, it can be had. It's within reach. But it's not going to happen. And if we remain in the condition that we're in, I believe that. That's right. Yeah, just compare yourself to the event of the cross. If it don't move you, you're in worse shape than you think. If it don't stir you, amen. If it don't stir you, you're colder than you think. Amen. Lord, help us tonight. And to preach, listen, the people that are in this room, I don't know all of you real good as far as personally and all that. But I believe that probably everybody in this room has got a good knowledge of the Word of God. Probably. You probably know a lot of the truths and doctrines of the Word of God. I believe that. But are we living what we know? What a question. What convicting question that is. Are we living what we know? Hebrews chapter 4, I believe it is in chapter 4, he talked about the Word of God did not profit them. What? The Word of God, the potential of the Word of God, the power of the Word of God did not profit them. That's what you call unprofitable preaching. And it goes on to say why. Because what was it? That their heart was not mixed with faith. something to that effect. You know what that simply means? It wasn't really settled in their heart by faith that what they was hearing was from God. I'm going to tell you, when your pastor's preaching won't help you, it's when you think, oh, that's just his opinion. Amen. Amen. And it happens all the time. Amen. That's right. Amen. Let me bow for just a moment of prayer here. I want to discern God's will. Amen. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm not here for me. Lord, we, as a congregation, we're here for you. We're interested in what you want to say to us. We're interested in what you've already said to us tonight. And Lord, I believe that, as I already said, that this congregation here has heard a lot of truth, and we've been given a lot of light. And no doubt revival could break out if we would just make a move to get back to where we are doing, we're doers of the word also. Not just hearers of the word, but that we're doers of the word also. And that we're hungry for you, Lord. If we're not hungry for you, we will not have what's in your hand. Help us, Lord, to be thirsty and hungry for the supernatural versus just the normal, the usual, and the average. Lord, there's not a church in this area. I know that for a fact. And I don't even know the churches, but I guarantee I'm right. There's not a church in this area that's absolutely burning the woods down spiritually. Absolutely on fire. God moving. Souls are being saved. But most churches today are hung up in struggling. They're struggling to survive. Lord, that's not your will. You want your church to be thriving. You want your church involved in the much more, that abundant life. Lord, Jesus came to give us life, but not just to give us life, but that life would be more abundant. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. May your will be done, Father. And we'll sure do praise you and thank you for all that you do. Help me to discern your direction, Lord. And I'll try my best to follow it if you'll make it clear to me. And if the truth was already known tonight, Lord, there's already people that's had their heart touched in this service, during the song service, and even some of the things that you've impressed our heart to say in the pulpit about some very crucial subject matters in the Scripture of being filled with the Spirit in Calvary. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and it's going to be you in that resurrected body, and it's not going to be scars, it's healed up. It's going to be as a lamb that had been slain. Because that's going to be our forever reminder. That's the price that it took for us to be in heaven, to escape the damnation of hell. And Lord, every time we see you, Lord, it'll stir our heart in adoration and thanksgiving and gratitude and praise and worship. Lord, I ask you please to have your way in the service tonight. Lord, do what needs to be done, Lord, and we'll be careful. And I mean that, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise, Lord, that is due your holy and righteous and altogether lovely name. For it's in your name, Lord, we pray. For our sakes, we pray. Amen. Amen. Is all hearts clear in the service? Anybody need to do anything? Amen. It's going to be hard to switch gears now. That's all right. Amen. Go to see a doctor, he'll deal with everything you got that's wrong with you. He might have to switch from dealing with your leg to dealing with your arm to dealing with your head and ears. He's going to deal with everything you got, what's wrong with you, amen. Holy Spirit may already run us through one x-ray and examination, and he may be fixing to do it again, amen. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles. I don't know. We'll just start on it, and then if Brooke dries up, we'll we'll go meet the widow of Zarephath. Habakkuk chapter 3. The book of Habakkuk, the minor prophet Habakkuk. Give you a few minutes to find that. Look in the front of your Bible and find out where it's at. It's one of the minor prophets. It's not a minor prophet in that the content is of less value, of less importance. It's minor because of its volume, not its value. It's just as important as Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, the major prophets. It's minor only because of the length of it, the volume of it versus the value of it. I'm interested in the last chapter. There's only three chapters in this particular book. But I'm interested in actually the last three verses of the chapter as he's closing. As he's closing his book or his prophecy here, and we're not going to go into all the details of the prophecy, but I'm interested in verse 17. I want you to look at it. It comes down to this verse and starts out with an interesting word, although. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the laborer of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now I want you to look at something. Everything in that verse was negative. Habakkuk was describing literally what he identified in verse number 17 was really their economical system, their economy. Basically, what was said in verse 17 is that our economy is falling apart. Nothing's working. We're planting, but we're not harvesting nothing. There'll be no fruit in the vines, there's no blossoms. The labor of the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And what he was saying was, it can't get no worse. On a national level, it cannot get any worse. But then I want you to notice another word. It's actually the next word, and that's the word yet. I like it. Although means although this is all happening, all of this negative is happening, the economy's falling apart, every effort is producing no outcome, but yet, and I'm interested in what follows the yet. Look at verse number 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yeah. What? Wait a minute, Habakkuk. Surely you forgot quickly what you had just wrote in verse 17. Yeah. How can you go from such a dark, dismal description of the economy and the financial system and all of that? How could you go from that and say, yet I will rejoice? Well, here's the key. In the Lord. He didn't say, yet I will rejoice when the economy picks back up. I'll rejoice if we can be more productive in what we plant and the herds and the stalls and all of that. No, he said whether we ever have an economy, whether we ever have that verse number 17 to turn around, he said my rejoicing is not in circumstances. He said my rejoicing is in the Lord. He said, I can't rejoice in the pocketbook, but I can rejoice in the Lord. I can't rejoice in what the garden's producing, but I can rejoice in the Lord. I can't rejoice in the politicians, but I can rejoice in the Lord.
You know what verse 17 is, or 18 is telling us? There's never going to be an excuse given to you by the Lord for you to not worship, for you to not praise the Lord, for you to not be thankful to Him and rejoicing Him. Amen. Amen. You know what He's saying? Verse 18, verse 17, the economy is unpredictable, and ours is. Thankfully, it's doing good right now, but who knows, you know, what will happen tomorrow? I mean, who knows? And there's been people get out of church because of they lost money in the stock market. There's been people kill themselves because they lost thousands of dollars in the stock market. I'm going to tell you, friend, your rejoicing better not be linked to temporal things, earthly things, carnal, fleeting, fading, failing things. Let your rejoicing be in the Lord. That's where we're at. We're in the house of God. We are the people of God, if you're saved. And I'm telling you, our rejoicing ought to be in the Lord. Amen. Amen. There'll never be a reason to be found in Him for you to not rejoice. Why? He'll never fail you. He'll never lie to you. He'll always be God. He'll always be good. He'll always be faithful. Amen. A sad Christianity is not biblical. Amen. Sadness, it didn't come from your focus on the Lord. Your sadness comes when you're looking on a horizontal level at what's happening around you or maybe even to you. And I'm not minimizing that. Everybody's got something going on in their life, physically, financially, socially, in some area, some way. And if we're not careful, we'll get so focused on that we can sit through several church services and never rejoice in the Lord. We can have the hymnal in our hands and join in with the congregational singing and sing the words and sing the melody. And we would sing the tune, but we never rejoiced in the Lord. The reality of what was sung tonight never rung the bells of our heart. Amen. I'm just saying it's possible to be in that shape where that you can be all around things falling apart and that can become your total focus. And I'm as bad as the next one. Amen. Getting my focus on, you know, who's leaving the church? Who's upset? Are they going to leave? All those sorts of things. And we can go to church with that shape of mind and spirit. And even sing and nod her head to the preaching and have her Bible open to the text that's being preached out of. And our mind 100 miles from the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been there and done that? I'm sure we all, if we'll be truthful, we'd all have to say yes. Amen. Set in a service while the preacher's preaching and you're thinking, you're here and you're sitting in your spot and you got your Bible open and you nod your head and you're hearing some of what the preacher's saying, but really your main focus in your mind is how am I going to fix this problem? How am I going to endure this situation? How am I going to get over this hurt? How am I going to deal with this disappointment? That's right. Habakkuk said, can't get any worse in verse 17. Yet, notice verse 17 didn't end with a period. Oh, I'm gonna preach right there a second. So and when you know you're getting blessed by the punctuation, you know God's a helping us, amen. I'm glad verse 17 didn't end with a period. If it would end with a period, we would have maybe the thought of, well, that's just the way it's going to be, and it ain't going to be no better. But that yet come in, what was it? A colon. Verse 17 ends with a colon. You can tell I'm no English major, but I've got some in my church that are. And so I'll ask them. And the way they describe it, I thought, now why didn't I have teachers like that? They said the colon is the equal sign. It's the equal sign. So all that was said before the colon is equaled by what is said after the colon. Oh. So what was said before the colon, it was that whole list of negative, can't get any worse statements. So with the punctuation of the colon being the equal sign, then we know that what's fixing to follow the colon is of the same equal power. Amen. And here it is, yet, I'm going to hook a yet up with that although. Although that's reality, although that's my experience, although this is happening, although I don't like it, although this is going on, yet, I want to tell you, thank God we need to not put periods where God puts colons, amen. We need to do our part instead of get caught up in verse 17 with a pouting session, amen, and going around with a poochy lip and dragging our tracks out with a defeated life. I'm telling you what we ought to do. We ought to lift up our heads above. Listen, you know what? Let me make sure now here. Yep. It's like I thought. Everything mentioned in verse 17 is horizontal. If I'm looking that way, I can't see what's in the stalls. If I'm looking at the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord, I can't see what's going on in the fields. I can't see. Amen. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. We ought to just be like Habakkuk and just purpose in our heart. We're going to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. You'll never go wrong by doing that. It won't ever defeat you. You don't get defeated in verse 18. You get defeated in verse 17. If that's your focus and that's your world, and that's all that you think about and talk about, and you read verse number 17 over and over and over again. Probably can quote verse 17. Amen. But what about verse 18? It's a little bitty short verse, but can you quote it? Or quote the truth of it. Look at it. Yet I will rejoice. Notice, it didn't say we will. Oh, this is getting good. But it didn't say we will. If it said we, that means you might have to wait on somebody to get involved. You may have to wait on somebody else to come alongside of you. No, Habakkuk said, I will. That means I don't have to wait on nobody. I don't have to wait for somebody else to get right with God. I don't have to wait for the others in the church to get fired up. I can rejoice in the Lord. Look at it, verse 18. He said it twice in one verse. He used those two words, I will. I will rejoice in the Lord, comma. I will joy in the God of my, say it, salvation. You may not can rejoice in silver and gold. You might be like Peter and him and say, silver and gold have I none. But you, if you're saved, you'll be able to rejoice and have joy in the fact that you are S-A-V-E-D, saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Some of you about to get your smile back already. Hey, I'm letting you know that verse 17 is not the end of the chapter. God's got something else to say to us. Amen. Amen. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, look at it. The Lord God is my strength. He just keeps on. In fact, I counted the words up. Verse 17, I wrote it in my Bible here. Verse 17 has got 46 words in it. Verse 18 and 19 are positive. They have 50 words in it. You say, what's the big deal about that? I know it ain't much, but hey, right now I'm going off of anything I can get. There's more positive words said than there were negative words. That's a good thing to go home with tonight. Amen. He spent more time saying the things about the positive things than he did in verse 17 about the negative things. And verse 17 was reality. It was things that was actually happening. So he comes into verse 18, and we said that. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. Now notice something here in verse number 19. Verse 18, Habakkuk said, I will twice, didn't he? Look at the switch in verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and he will. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet. Here comes again. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Oh, if we'll do the I will in verse number 18, we can have confidence that God will do the he will. Amen. But if you skip verse number 18 and leave out the rejoicing and leave out the I wills, those two I wills, then you may have a problem with the next verse, of being able to enjoy the he will. Amen. The church don't need what I can do. We need what he can do. We need him activated. He will. He will. It reminds me, that thought there reminds me of 2 Chronicles 7:14. How many times we quote that? Oh, yeah. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I. Amen. Woo! Amen. Oh, he said, if you will do that first part, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Oh, listen, church, if we're going to enjoy and experience the he wills, it's going to follow the I wills. Amen. The I will. God has not got a he will problem. He's got an I will problem. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. The he will in this text was not in verse 18. The he will in our text was in verse 19. And watch this now. And it wasn't what the Lord was saying about himself. It was the same one that was doing the rejoicing in verse 18 that said, I will joy in the God of my salvation. He's the one that said, the Lord will. It's amazing how Habakkuk went from, could have been just real selfish and down and defeated about verse 17. But he made sure he kept his worship where it ought to be. He rejoiced in the Lord. Have you ever seen, and I know you have you ever seen anybody that you knew that they were going through, I mean, some serious problems? Miss Susan Sutherland in our church several months ago was diagnosed with cancer. A sweetheart. I mean, she's got such a sweet spirit. And you know what? When she come to church, and that chemo, everybody I ever seen ever take it, I mean, it stomps them in the ground. Just stomps them in the ground. And she'd come to church. She'd be the only one testifying most of the time. She would be on her feet praising the Lord. And knowing she didn't have enough strength to even hardly even be at church, amen, her hair done fell out, and most women would have never even come to church, but she'd put on that little old bonnet thing. Here she'd come to the house of God, just a glowing, and she would get her little mandolin, and go over there right next to the piano during the song service, and she'd be sitting over there grinning, smiling, playing that mandolin. Hey, man, she didn't let what was going on in her affect her and get her down. She never got bitter. Amen. And I told our church, I said, if Miss Susan can be vocal and stand up when she's so weak she can't even hardly move, if she'll stand up, amen, and praise the Lord and brag on the Lord and honor the Lord, I said, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? Amen. Amen. Brother, what's your name right here? What's your name?
Carl.
Carl.
Yeah.
And you're blind, right? And he's probably as vocal, if not more so, of anybody here. Totally blind, but he's totally happy. And I'm going to go out on a limb right here. I know the answer, but I'm going to say it anyway. And totally saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. There's no, well, Lord, if you would fix this, I'd praise you. No, no. No, the fact that you've saved my soul from hell, you're worthy of praise. You're worthy of us to rejoice in the Lord. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm not talking about working up some kind of something. I'm talking about a gratitude inside of you that is huge toward the one that redeemed you from destruction. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Help us, Lord. Amen. I mean, that rejoicing sounds a lot like that Ephesians 5:19, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's one thing to sing about the Lord, but it's a whole nother level when you're singing to the Lord. Amen. Singing to the Lord's even a higher level than singing for the Lord. You can't get no more intimate and personal than singing to the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, if it's coming from your heart, He likes it. You may not can carry a tune in a bucket. You may not even be able to carry the bucket. But I'm telling you, you can make up songs. He don't care. As long as it's expressing how you feel in your heart, I'm telling you, singing, going down the road, get to singing to Him, making up stuff, making up song that's coming from your heart. Amen. I'm telling you, buddy, before you know it, He's got in the car with you. Before you know it, you're looking around and say, hallelujah, amen. You don't want to go to heaven till the Lord's got in the car with you at least once, amen. I'm talking about with His manifested presence. Amen. When I was a pastor of my first church in South Carolina, me and some of them boys that had gotten saved there, we was going to revival at Roanoke Baptist Church. We went down there and they was having revival. Man, we got fired up. I'm telling you, we got fired up. We was in my little old small car, wasn't big as nothing. All four of us was in that little old car. I don't know how we got in it. And so we're taking them back roads from the church back toward where we live in that area. Back, and we, Brother God got in the car with us. You say, oh, did that happen? Oh, I promise it happened. And we was way back in the boonies, and we come to a stop sign. I thought, this is a good place. Nobody's around. And I got out. They all got out. And we was worshiping the Lord. I forgot to put the car in park. I forgot to put the emergency brake on. So the car started rolling off down the hill. Amen. But I called it, praise God. Amen. Amen. I believe one of the reasons there's very little worship in the house of God is there's very little experiencing of God. Amen. Amen. The Lord, look at it. He just keeps giving reasons to rejoice. The Lord God is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Now look at this statement. This is what I was planning to deal with Don't have a stroke. Because I'm not dealing with it. We just, Lord, just let us just kind of summarize it a little bit. And we'll be done here shortly. But look what he said next. After he makes my feet like hinds' feet. That means it's sure-footed. Next statement is, he will make me to walk upon mine high places. Wouldn't you agree with me that verse number 18 describes hard times? Wouldn't you agree with that? All of that list, the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, the labor in the olive shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I think that equals hard times. Hard times. But look at verse 19. He said, he makes me to walk upon my high places. You know, here's the message. Here's the message. You know what God wants? God wants hard times to be turned into high times. The world says get high when hard times come. But God says go high. Amen. I've made your feet like hinds' feet. And he said, I want you to go up on the high places. And I like this word. Brother Dye, look at it. I like this word. He said to walk upon mine. Everybody in here say mine. Not yours, not theirs, not somebody else. Mine. My high places. I can allow the hard times to be high times if I'll respond to them spiritually. And that's what verse 18 and verse 19 is. Habakkuk is responding to the hard times with high times. But if you respond to the verse 17, if you respond to that hard times and deal with it with get going low, dealing with it with letting that make you low and defeated and depressed and discouraged and become unfaithful to church and unfaithful to pray and unfaithful to read your Bible, then the outcome of this is not going to be good. But if we'll respond spiritually, church, I cannot emphasize it enough that you and I need to make sure that our spiritual condition is to where when bad things happen and hard times come, that it does not knock us for a loop. If you're spiritually low when a hard time hits, you're probably not going to have a spirituality that can stay on your feet. Amen. And I've got illustrations, Lord mercy, personal ones. When Mom and Dad died, and they were my two heroes, Mama was instrumental in me getting saved. Daddy died. Mama died unexpectedly with a brain aneurysm in 2006. Daddy died in 07, the very next year. Both of my heroes, both my parents, which that changed our whole family structure. Thanksgiving's no longer the same. Christmas no longer the same. Sis, that could have knocked me down. And I'll be honest with you, it affected me. We knew Daddy was going to die because he had been suffering with Alzheimer's and stuff for a long time. We knew it was a slow thing, but we knew it was coming someday. We knew it was coming. But Mom, we didn't know it was coming because, I mean, her church called her Wonder Woman because she was so active in the church and in the community. Come in from church one night, my brother called me and said, you need to get to Asheville Hospital as fast as you can. And, oh, my world just fell apart right there. So we hurried up and got everything together and loaded the car, me and Leisha and Blake, and headed out to Asheville. And we pulled into Memorial Hospital there in Asheville, and a preacher friend of mine came out and stopped my car and said, hey, let me go park it. You go on in. My heart about stopped, because I knew that was not a good sign. So I got out, and he went on, parked the car, and I went on in, and you know, went through the main entrance there, and I could hear my Aunt Betty, which is Mama's sister. I could hear her. I don't know where she was at, but she was a long ways off, and I could hear her screaming and crying. Now, I rounded the corner to where I had that long hallway going to the waiting room, and I saw several of my relatives standing up, and they were all looking at me. I knew that was a bad sign. When I got closer to them and the reality had set in that my precious mama was probably gone, I collapsed right there in the floor. Of course, my cousin, Brother Stanley Edcock, caught me. The devil tried every way in the world to turn me against God on that. I was still preaching revivals. I was still preaching at my church where I'm pastor. I was still preaching, but I could tell on the inside I was losing my joy. I'm just being honest with you. Ain't no big S on my chest. And one day I seen where this was going to go if it kept going. So I went over to the church where I pastored, just me. Went inside and just walked around inside the sanctuary praying. I tried kneeling. I tried walking. I tried everything. Business picked up when I came to the front, about right here between the front two pews. And I looked up to heaven with all the sincerity of my soul. And I said, Lord, I don't know why that you took Mama, but I want you to know. And the verse came to me, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And I quoted that. I said, Lord, the Bible said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And here today, standing right here, right now, Lord, I choose to trust you. You don't owe me an explanation now nor ever. You don't ever have to tell me a reason why or what for. I choose to trust you, and meant it with everything that was in me. And brother, immediately the joy bells began to ring in my soul. Amen. Amen. God wants, listen, God wants unconditional surrender out of our hearts. He wants us to not put him on conditions. Amen. Lord, I'll serve you if you'll do this and that. Amen. No, he's not the servant. We're the servant. He's the master. He don't have to explain himself. He don't have to tell us nothing. He don't have to get our permission on anything. Amen. There's a big step made when you say to the Lord, I trust you. I love you anyway. This is not a deal breaker. I'm not quitting. Amen. I'm not throwing in the towel. And we'll all go through things like that. Heartbreak and heartache and disappointments. And why did this happen? And, amen. Amen. But I know, thank God, the day's coming when all heartache is going to be forever over. There'll be no more sad phone calls. There'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more disappointments. Amen. Hallelujah. What hurts and heartaches we'll have is only in this life. If it's in this life only. It's the temporal side. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, for this cause we faint not. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, for these light afflictions which worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He was talking about 35 years of imprisonments and beatings, snake bites and shipwrecks and every kind of torment you could think of just about it. He said, it's light affliction. And he said, by the way, it's working for us What? Working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hard times may come in your life personally. Hard times may come in our whole, all of our lives nationally. It could. Who knows? I hope not. But you ought to have it nailed down in your heart. It's not going to be no deal breaker with me. It's not going to turn my heart toward against God. Can you say tonight, regardless of what you've been through, can you say to the Lord, Lord, I still love you. And mean it. You remember that story? I know you've heard it. I may have even told it here. There was a preacher one time got so discouraged that he thought, I'm quitting. And then he thought, well, I can't quit. He said, I'm gonna make it to where God's just gonna take me. So he went to the church where he pastored. There was nobody there. Went up and laid down on the altar. And to where he could look up toward God, and he started saying things like this to God. I don't love you anymore. Silence. And he said a few other things of that caliber. And he said it again. I don't love you anymore. And the Lord whispered back to him and said, but I still love you. He crawled off of that altar, withdrew his resignation, and preached till he died. Amen? Hey, don't let it be a deal breaker. Hard times can be high times. When hard times come, you're the purpose in your heart, I'm going high. Higher ground. I like that song, Higher Ground. Let's all stand our feet. Father, we come in Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord, for just